everyone. I'm Shannon Bream, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Richard Fowler, Charlie Hurt, and the Greg Gutfeld. It is 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The 5. Big day here in the Big Apple for Joe Biden and Donald Trump, both in New York City at the same time today. President Biden chatting with Howard Stern, telling him he would be happy to stand on a debate stage with Trump. Speaking of which, the former president was in court for day 8 of his criminal hush money trial. Former National Enquirer Chief David Pecker wrapping up his testimony. And we got to hear from the prosecution's next two witnesses, Trump's former assistant Ronna Graff, a 34-year veteran of the Trump Organization, and Gary Farrow, a former banker at First Republic when Michael Cohen was apparently seeking to arrange the $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels. Trump sounding off on another day in court.
This is all a Biden indictment. It's in order to try and win an election, political opponent, and nothing like this has ever happened. I've invited Biden to debate. He can do it anytime he wants, including tonight. I'm here. I'm ready, willing, and able. And if he wants, I'll do it on Monday night, Tuesday night, or Wednesday night. We'll be in Michigan, a state that he's destroyed.
Well, the former president was certainly on the mind of the current president. Joe Biden repeatedly brought up Donald Trump while being interviewed by Howard Stern.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him. I don't think the election's over yet on that score.
What do you think's going to happen? I can't imagine you're going to lose, but...
Well, look, he's promised if he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath. Trump makes fun of me.
Right.
He was the kind of guy in the neighborhood who wish he could have gotten in the neighborhood, meet head-to-head.
Maybe like corn pop. Okay, the sit-down with Stern coming as Biden takes some friendly fire from the New York Times. The gray lady accusing the president of setting a dangerous precedent for avoiding interviews with most of the media. And despite Biden's best efforts to shuffle away from the press, Axios has an alarming new report out on his gait. Quote, instead of walking to and from Marine One by himself in the last week, Biden started walking surrounded by aides who are concerned that videos of Biden walking alone, especially on grass, have highlighted his age. Charlie, you can't stop with the giggles over here today.
Well, whether it's Trump talking about how he wants to debate Biden or the fact that the real concern in the White House is that the tall grass is going to wipe out Joe Biden. And if you wonder why the economy is in the tank, we have an open border and we have all these wars popping up all over the place. It's because the White House is more concerned about shielding Joe Biden walking to the helicopter than they are about solving any problems.
Okay, so, Greg, he says it goes back to the grass, which I know that you know something about.
Oh, I don't understand that. Are you alluding to something?
I just need you to Google it.
All right. First of all, I love how these trials are fuel for Trump. If he's Popeye, Lawfare is his spinach.
Oh.
He's not leading in the polls despite the trials. He's leading in the polls because of the trials. And it's hilarious to watch. It really is. Who would have thought the Howard Stern show would become the safe space for an elderly, clueless fossil? And also Joe Biden. I kid Howard Stern. I loved him. But, man, he has changed. Risk has now been replaced with reward. When you listen to the interview, he's completely defanged and he's rendered kind of a harmless Stern, the opposite of what the brand that Stern used to be. But that's what happens when you get co-opted by power and famous friends. And it's weird to see Stern switch sides. So Trump, for many years, supported Stern, gave him his best shows. And I could bet you at that time, Biden would have branded Stern a moral hazard in need of censorship. So now you have Stern basically trashing Trump, who reflects the frankness of the Stern phenomenon. And instead, Stern embraces the precise kind of phony that early Stern would have mercilessly mocked. Now on to your cheap gaffe about the grass. Okay, they're talking about a stiff gait. That's what this is part of a bigger scandal that should be called feeble gait, right? It's a scandal to cover up Biden's ever-diminishing function. Let's be honest. The only way that Biden can look younger is to surround himself with corpses. And it's not the walk that should be alarming. It's the dementia, which makes him even more oblivious to the destruction of all our institutions. It's the woke handlers who are accelerating our nation's demise. And he's just there along for the ride. Who knows how much longer he'll be there? I think it's also, you know, it's also hard to walk when you got a load in your pants. That's why they call him Dark Brandon, Judge. Ask the White House laundry.
Okay, we don't have any confirmation from the White House laundry, so we're just going to move on from that. But I thought it was interesting, Judge, that there's part of this reporting in Politico about the people walking with him is he wanted more downtime, more less formal time with his aides. So the walk between the White House and Marine One is supposed to be it?
Oh, that'll do it. I mean, that'll absolutely do it. I mean, look, the reason he's got his aides there is because they're going to ask him a question. It's quiet. There's nothing going on there, and they're afraid he's going to answer it. And they're the ones who are going to make sure that he doesn't say anything that's out of line. It's obviously we already know how he treats his aides. He curses at them. He yells at them. I mean, we've heard all the stories about what's going on in the White House. But, you know, I mean, I agree with Greg. I mean, the guy's lost it. And what he's saying now, what he said on the Howard Stern show, he came up with even more lies. The guy's a plagiarist. He's plagiarized his whole career. I think it was his 88 or 98 presidential campaign. They threw him out because he was such a liar. And now he comes up with four new ones. He said when he was a lifeguard, he saved a half a dozen people from drowning. Now, you want to tell me why he waited until he was 81 to tell people about that? Oh, number two, and he said, get this, he said, whenever he, as a senator, received salacious pictures that women would give him, he would give it to the Secret Service. Joe, you didn't have Secret Service when you were a senator, okay?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Then he said when he was younger, he was on a porch with a black family. He was the only white kid on the porch with a black family. He was protesting segregation, and they arrested him. Joe, why would they arrest you? I mean, okay, and then this is, he said he was a runner in state scoring football. What the hell is that? First of all, he always said he was the first one in his family to go to college. Then we heard that his grandfather played college football and he was the best. I mean, you need to have drinks when you go through this. You know what? It's just ridiculous. And this man is representing us. He talks to Xi Jinping. He talks to Putin. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to need to go down to that end of the table and do a wellness check on the judge down there.
Okay, I think Jeanine should be the debate moderator.
Well, listen, if you're free, it's apparently going down at the courthouse tonight. If you're free, they've offered to do it. Yeah. Well, at least one side has offered. Okay, so this interview, where you find all these nuggets, is Howard Stern. But the New York Times is upset because they say, you know, more traditional news outlets are not getting a chance at this. They say it should be troubling that President Biden has so actively and effectively avoided questions from independent journalists during his term. Avoiding interviews and questions from major news organizations doesn't just undermine an important norm. It also establishes a dangerous precedent that future presidents can use to avoid scrutiny and accountability. So, Richard, they're thinking not only about now, but is there self-interest also that other presidents will say it's just not done that way anymore?
Oh, listen, I think that's a fair point by the New York Times. And I do think that the president should probably give more interviews to the traditional press or those folks who sit in the briefing room. I think that's a fair assessment. Now, you know, I watched the same interview you did, Judge. I didn't have the same assessment of it, but that's all fair in love and war. There's a part of the interview that I really did appreciate the president talking about, especially at this point, this inflection point in our country. He talked about the time when he lost both his wife and his daughter, and he talked about the ideal of what he was dealing with. He talked about thinking about drinking. He'd also talked about the ideal of his own suicide ideations after losing both his daughter and his wife. And I think this comes at a time in our country where we know black youth are, the suicide rate there is up 144%. We know that for college athletes, the suicide rate has doubled in this country. So we have a lot of young people struggling with this too. To hear the president of the United States say, hey, listen, when I was a young person, I too struggled with this, I think is a real moment for him to say, listen, I'm feeling your pain. And this is what he's very good at doing. Whether you disagree with his politics or not, it's important to see our leaders say, I've struggled with this as well, especially as the nation and our young people struggle with it too.
Too bad he does nothing about the pain. I'm all for feeling pain, but
America's, the part about it is talking about it, Greg.
Talking is cheap. I think someone said that once. Talk is cheap. Fact is, we have inflation that is causing
20 suicidal ideations. Talking about it's actually how you solve it.
No. If you want to buy into that, that's fine.
I mean, but that's what the medical community says.
He's done nothing about fentanyl. He's done nothing about crime. He's done nothing about inflation. He's done nothing about border, which is increased gang crime.
Just be very clear. Hamas.
All right, I'll give you this. Suicidal ideation is bad. There you go. You can have that point.
Everyone can agree on that.
Yeah,
exactly.
And we'll leave it
there. President talked about it.
There is work to be done. All right, coming up, shocking scenes of California lawlessness. A mayor's bodyguard attacked on camera, and Adam Schiff,
this is wild.
Well, he got robbed.
This is wild. I saw things you need to be.
I'm a smiling face for TV. From the creators of Jesus Revolution.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
California continues to be a lawless nightmare, three of its left-wing leaders falling victim to crime in just 1 week. Congressman Adam Schiff is the latest. He got robbed in San Francisco. Thieves looting the luggage out of his car, forcing him to attend a fancy dinner looking like a slob without a suit and a tie. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass had her house broken into. And the security guard for Democrat mayor of San Jose was attacked while giving an interview to a TV station.
So I'm doing an interview, sir.
Are you doing an interview? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm moving on. I work right there. I'm talking on the phone. You got a problem?
Yeah, we're just trying to do
it. Okay, cool. Cool. I appreciate you, mind your I'm going to go do what you're going to do right before you walk up.
Hey!
Can you call him, please?
And if that isn't the perfect metaphor for San Francisco going down the drain, a neighborhood just threw a mini festival to celebrate a public toilet that cost $200,000 instead of the original price tag, a whopping $1.7 million. So obviously we want to first go to our toilet correspondent, Greg Gutfeld, who I have to say that as sharp as you always look, when Adam Schiff showed up to that party, he looked like he was borrowing your wardrobe.
Yeah, it's true. Well, we do, you know, we do shop at the same places. That toilet originally cost over $1 million. So when someone in San Francisco says you look like $1 million, they're telling you you look like crap. San Francisco used to be celebrated as this glistening jewel of a city with amazing views. Now people have to resort to celebrating a toilet. And I get it. It's a rare feat in a city where, you know, when anybody defecates indoors, it's a cause for celebration. But what you're going to see with a lot of these left-wing politicians is that they will be forced to pretend that their victimization is no big deal because it's their own policies that led to this increase in lawlessness. So they'd be seen as hypocritical. They can no longer cite any data that the crime's going down because it's been shown to be bogus. Cities no longer submit the crime data because they're overtaxed by, or I should say overstretched, not to confuse people. There's too much crime to report. They don't have time to do it. So the FBI is working on partial figures. They can't figure it out. The victims reporting has skyrocketed. So the gap between actual crimes and reported numbers is huge. Then add to the fact that victims are still, despite this, actually underreporting the crime, right? Because the downcharging of offenses dissuades people from going to the police. And especially when they call the police, they don't show up.
I'm not going to mock your sweater.
This is an amazing sweater.
It's not really something.
You're right. It's short sleeve.
Even Adam Schiff would not wear that.
Yes.
Shannon,
you're a thrifter.
When you go through and you look at all these crimes going on in San Francisco this week with Dem leaders, which crime do you fear the most?
Well, when you think about, I've lost my luggage many times, and that can be a crime, which also leads to fashion crimes. But I would note that Adam Schiff had been warned not to leave his luggage in the garage where his car was parked. So even people there were like, San Francisco is no longer safe for you to even leave your luggage in your car. So, you know, he's just one of the many victims that we're covering. But remember, San Francisco voters not that long ago went to the polls and cracked down on some of this stuff, reversed some policies. They've actually loosened up some of the, you know, clamp down on the police because they recognize that what they've done has led to these policies. Now, why they're so busy celebrating the toilet, I found this, I literally thought this was Babylon Bee when I first read this, because there were toilet-themed games at this party celebrating the toilet. There were chocolate cupcakes decorated like and, yes, they took turns trying the shiny new stainless steel bowl. Like I cannot believe there are not more important things to worry about.
You read this far more deeply than even I did. So they're like toilet Olympics.
Yeah, kind of.
And
you
could be like a
Dark Brandon strikes again.
You could be a judge in the.
I don't want to know what the competitions are.
So
the categories.
Richard. The reason I asked that question is I was hoping you were going to talk about the roundhouse kick that the San Jose mayor's bodyguard got.
Landed.
So the guy that roundhouse kicked the San Jose mayor's bodyguard. So he's just looking for bread for his family.
I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea what he's looking for. I don't. It's Friday, but I won't worship the porcelain god. I don't understand why
this
we're worshiping
stainless steel god.
I'm not worshiping any of them. But I do want to draw a direct line from the point that Shannon made, because I think it's the right one, is that what you've seen happen in San Francisco. And don't get me wrong. I think San Francisco is, to Greg's point, from where it was in its heyday, right, to where it is now. It's you know, there's real issues there. Right. And I think what you've seen the voters of the city do, as well as the city's leadership do, is really try to put some things in place to bring down the crime rate. In 2022, the city launched the Violence Reduction Initiative. And as a result of that, you've seen homicides go down. And also the coroner's office there also reported this week that you're also seeing a decrease in the number of unintended drug overdoses happening there, because they're getting folks the resources that they need, so they're not overdosing on fentanyl or other types of drugs. Not saying it's where it should be, but it's good to see the city's moving in the right direction. One, because the voters want it, but two, the city's leadership is responding to the voters and saying, hey, we can make a choice to fix this. And I think this also comes at a time that our nation is on pace to see crime significantly decrease to the point where it was to the lowest point it was almost in the Obama administration.
I would love to see this go in the right direction, San Francisco. I have my doubts.
It's moving
that
way.
But Judge Jeanine, I'm assuming, but the one thing that is absolutely, this is not the fault of Republican policies.
Uh-oh.
Okay. The Dems are facing the consequences of their own policies. Right. Turnabout is fair play. Okay. They wanted social justice reform, criminal justice reform. They don't want bail. Or they want cashless bail. They don't want people in jail. And we are now experiencing it. When you've got a guy on the street who literally, you've got the mayor there who's trying to give an interview and some half-wit is coming up beating the hell out of the security guards. I mean, at least he has a security guard. What about the rest of us?
Right.
The truth is the politicians only care when it affects them. And it's about time that it did. Karen Bass's home was burglarized. And I also think that London Bree, she apparently was initially in favor of defunding the police. We're in this mess because of the Democrats. And in San Francisco right now, being a victim of a crime is like the rite of passage. Okay, it's going to happen, and that's the way it is. And in the end, until this all changes, we're all going to be victims of crimes. And that's all I have to say.
And the
most frustrating part of it is that you know, obviously these policies that are the Democrat policies in place are what have allowed this to happen. But when they don't do anything about it, you're also not allowed to protect yourself.
Mm. Now, look, just ask what's his name from the subway.
Daniel Penny.
You can't defend yourself. Then you've got idiots like Alvin Bragg who doesn't know who to prosecute and who to let go. I mean, there's a George Soros-funded prosecutor. These Democrat socialists of America are putting people in DA's offices who don't know how to fight crime. And London Bree in San Francisco, you know where she is? She right now is in China on a taxpayer-funded trip to purchase pandas. And I guarantee you that when she comes back with the pandas, someone's going to steal them.
There's okay. enough bears in San Francisco.
Well, all right. Please stop. Take them. Okay, we got to go. Up next, Follow the Money. A shocking new report claims that George Soros is helping fund the Israel-hating protests on college campuses. That's next.
Welcome to Three Forks Radio.
it's just me. Liberal COVID lockdowns have crushed the dreams of an entire generation of students. And now pro-Hamas protests are threatening to destroy what's left. The University of Southern California has announced their main stage graduation ceremony is canceled due to safety concerns after 100 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested on campus. Keep in mind, these 2024 college grads are the same ones who graduated high school without a ceremony because of the pandemic. Students at the university are not thrilled about it.
I think it's awful. I think it's not fair. I don't think it's right.
These are like the students from 2020 who missed their high school graduation, and now they're missing their college graduation. So, and it, that's really messed up.
Luckily, like, I was class of 2019, I transferred in, so I got a high school graduation. Didn't get the transfer graduation, but that's okay. But I'm hoping to get this USC graduation.
But enough is enough. It's time to follow the money on who is fueling these anti-Israel protests. A shocking report from the New York Post claims that three pro-Palestine encampment leaders are fellows at Soros-funded groups. All right, I will go to you first, Shannon, because you're in the news.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about this?
A few things. We've been covering this. I think one of the best questions is when you have people who are getting arrested or getting into trouble, and some of them aren't getting arrested, they're getting processed. So there is no fingerprinting or picture or arrest record. They're not 22 years old. I mean, these people are older. So some of them you've got to assume are not from campus. They're outside organizers, what they're doing there. I don't know. And I can understand these people being so upset and, you know, frustrated that they're missing out on a second big milestone in their life. I think if the Biden White House wants to get these youth voters, you got to decide which side you're going to, you know, want to lay your claim to here. But a lot of young people, yes, they're upset with you for how you're handling this Gaza situation with Israel. But a lot of other people, a greater percentage, seem to be very upset about how this is impacting their college experience. And the White House said yesterday, the spokeswoman, Karine Jean-Pierre, that this is up to governors about sending National Guard in, settling things down. It's not for the president. We all know the president is, in history, has sent the National Guard in on campuses where there's trouble, into riots. They got to start having a conversation about, you know, if you're going to say you're the party of law and order and rule of law, why are you not helping these students who are having something so precious snatched away from them?
Well, the interesting thing, Charlie, about having a conversation is Columbia University continues to have a conversation every 48 hours. They have 48 hours left to leave and they don't leave. We'll have another conversation. 48 hours, you got to leave. They don't leave. They have another conversation. There is nothing that people can do to stop this, that kids can't graduate.
The only people dumber than the kids on campus doing this are the adults who are negotiating with them. I don't understand any part of it. And you know, there's a thing called a heckler's veto, where a heckler can walk into a situation and completely shut down free speech. Well, that's what's going on here on this college campus. The administrators are empowering these nitwits, these morons, and I don't doubt that some of them are there because they have, you know, they're emotionally upset about what they see on TV. But you look at the tents, you can tell this is an inorganic thing. This is definitely a setup. This is definitely an operation. And the university proving how irrelevant they are just completely buckles to them and lets these people shut down the lives and the free speech and the important milestone for all these other people.
That, Greg, what's your take on George Soros?
Well, I will get to that because I think the tents tell you the story. I see all these spanking new tents, mm-hmm. and none of these people appear to be outdoorsy, right? They don't look like repeat shoppers at Dick's Sporting Goods. And you see the signs are brand new, the tents, the catered food. It's all designed to make a protest a comfortable experience for people with a low threshold for hardship, right? It's curated and catered like the backstage at Coachella minus the bands. It's a protest for the pathetic and the passive. The Soros funding shows you that none of this is accidental. Because if it is accidental, when some bad things happen, people try to fix it when it's accidental. But if you look at all of our problems today, whether it's the squatting, the no cash bail, the border chaos, the drug overdoses. There's no fixing, right? It feels part of a greater deliberate mission that is on purpose because no one is bothering to fix it. The DAs, the Soros-funded DAs, don't even blink an eye when they're shown to the destruction that's wielded by the recidivists that they let out. So, again, all these variables from the campus occupations, the crime, the homelessness, together, they tell you there's an ideology at play. And it's meant to dismantle a free market, the structure of a free market, individualistic, capitalistic society, and to replace it with something. You could call it Marxist, you can call it whatever you want, but there's no attempt to stop it.
Right. So let's talk about the fact that there's no attempt to stop it.
Richard.
All right, let's start here. A recent Harvard IOP poll that talked to voters under 30, including many of these young people on these college campuses, they rated their top issues. Of the top issues, it was healthcare, housing, inflation, gun violence. At the bottom of that was the Israel-Hamas crisis. So that's thing one. Now, thing two, because I think there's a critique of the media here, and I think it's important that we make this critique, because I think what's happened, even on my own alma mater at GW, there's been a focus of the cameras on the folks at this encampment. GW has about 10,000 undergraduate students. They focused on the 100 or so that are at this encampment and not the 9,900 who are going to class or in finals every day. And my problem with that is this. Everyday students are trying to complete school and whatever. And I think everybody should be allowed to protest, right? Because protesting is what makes this democracy great, right? But at the same time, there's a bright line that the media is not talking about. When you say anti-Semitic things, that's not protected by free speech. However, calling for disinvestment is protected by free speech. Free expression is protected by free speech. And nonviolent protesting is protected
Absolutely.
By free speech. And you have to make that clear bright line. So if you want to be on your college campus and you want to say, I want a ceasefire now, and you want to say you disagree with how the United States federal government is engaging with Israel, you have every right to do that. If you say something that's anti-Semitic, you don't have the right to do that. And I think that's what needs to be said. And I think the media is conflating these two things, and it's very harmful to conflate the two things because they're not the same.
But if you're a university and you have a code of conduct,
right.
code of standards,
enforce
you
it.
Can tell people but they're not allowed.
But many
and
universities,
you can also educate them.
Well, many
so
universities
that they're not
are.
So stupid,
I mean,
well,
they take these
is,
positions.
Well,
no, that's not true. When the Columbia University president went down to Congress, talked about who she suspended, who she expelled, who she's investigated, because they violated her code of conduct.
Okay.
So there are code of conducts that universities are following, and I think we just have
okay.
to make a clear bright line between what is and what isn't, and the media is not doing that.
Fastest is up next.
We're beautiful like diamonds in the sky. So alive.
Shingles.
Welcome back. It's time for the fastest. First up, step away from the shower. Experts say that you do not need to take a daily scrub because it's proven that there's no health benefits and it could actually harm you. We only do it because we don't want to stink. I don't know who these experts are, but fire all of them. I take multiple showers a day.
Okay,
Judge Jeanine.
Maybe that explains everything.
Hey, listen, I don't know about you.
Judge Jeanine looks horrified.
They want you to eat bugs.
Right.
Not take a shower and live in 500 square feet. I mean, this is all nonsense. That's the end of it.
I agree.
They claim that there's a social stigma to not showering. Yes, it's because you stink. No one wants you to be sitting on their furniture, you literal dirtbag. And also, these so-called experts.
Fire them.
It's based on the assumption that nobody works out. If you exercise every day, which you should, you would shower. So not only these people are dirtbags, they're probably fat bags as well. They're disgusting.
I just want to hear your. I want to hear your take on this, Charlie.
It's not about a stigma. It's called manners.
Yeah.
You
yes.
don't want to smell bad for other people.
So you don't take multiple showers?
No, showers are terrible for you. They're awful.
Huh?
Wait,
yes.
are you serious?
I take showers if I'm going to be around people. But this is why you live on a farm. You live on a farm. You don't have to take showers. No, but you keep your distance.
Are you slapping the hogs and then not showering?
Sure.
Oh boy.
It's good for you.
Oh boy.
Showers are terrible for you.
Shannon.
What? You don't have any evidence.
I just want to get like some X and spray you down.
How do you think it's dangerous for our health? I don't know. E. coli is dangerous for our health. Well, right? But I'm with the judge. Like, eating bugs, walking around. Everybody just apparently wears pajamas now, not taking showers. I don't know. And they wonder why population rates are down.
This is an urban thing.
It's not cute.
Yeah. Charlie, we learn something new about you every day. Today we learned you don't take showers.
So doesn't shower?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Up next, Crocs, not only are they ugly, but they're also dangerous. Disney World in Florida is reportedly banning the footwear on its escalator because it's getting chewed up in the escalator teeth. Now, Judge, you know I love shoes. I do not own a pair of Crocs. Do you? She had to think about that one.
No, I work Crocs? I worked for Warner Brothers once, and one Christmas, I think everybody got Crocs. I didn't keep them. Okay. That's all I have to say. Look, if I ever get stuck in an escalator, it's because my high heel is too thin. It goes right into the steel. I can't get it out. I walk out, my shoes still.
No, like, still, it's stilettos.
I'm telling a story, Charlie. Charlie, stop talking.
Sorry.
Okay, so I'm walking off, and my shoe's still going up the escalator.
Exactly.
Okay.
I agree, Judge. Stilettos are much more dangerous than an escalator. Right. I thought that Crocs were like for gardening, for home time, maybe walking the dogs. I don't know. But wearing that amount of escalator to Disney, that's just way too fancy of an event
I don't just own one pair. I own four pairs.
This is a lot
of Crocs,
about you, Greg.
Including, check out these. These are exclusive Fur-Lined. That's an exclusive Fur-Lined Crocs. I wear them.
For dog walking?
Yes, late night pee breaks for the dog and me. You should always wear Crocs when you're in a public shower.
Not for Charlie, though.
Not for Charlie.
How often do you take showers in a public shower?
Oh, you don't want to know that.
Have you ever been to Turkey?
That's a different story.
And finally, what is in a name anyway? Emma Stone says she'd prefer to go by her real name, which is actually Emily. The Oscar winner reveals in a new interview that she goes by Emma because Emily Stone was already nabbed by another actress in their union. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. Judge Jeanine, if you could change your name, what would it be?
That my name was always Jeanine Ferris, but then you become Judge Jeanine Pirro, and then you're Judge Jeanine. I mean, your name does change, but I'm still Jeanine.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand these people who get upset about what people call them. I mean, it's just like...
Is this your real name, Henry?
It is actually my first
name. Your name is Henry.
But there are already too many Henrys in my family, so we go by...
So he changed his name, just like Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Shannon, would you change your name?
When I was growing up, it is a very long, not interesting story, but my nickname growing up was Chuck. So when I go home and when I see people that I knew me from growing up and I hear someone yell Chuck across the room, I'm like, my people. I'm back home.
How is that not going to be an interesting story?
You'll tune in later. That's going to be pay-per-view.
Greg, would you change your name?
I had my original name was Greg, and then I changed it to Greg. I dropped the second G, and it was quite a move for me. I thought about it. I prayed on
it. Tough decision.
It was very tough. I fasted. The Lord told me, drop the G, Greg.
I
got a big G.
Similar to Shannon, at home they call me JR because I'm junior to my father. So if I hear JR, I will look around.
But your initials are RAF.
It is. Those are
like
my initials.
Royal Air Force.
That's true. And Fan Mail Friday's up next.
Nice to meet you. My name is...
Oh, I like this.
It's Fan Mail Friday. Let's start with a very helpful, practical question for the viewers from, I can't say this, what's your best health tip and why? I think this is good because there must be something in your life that you, like the number one thing that gives you the best health that you enjoy. Does that make sense?
Don't take a shower.
Charlie, come on.
And
sunshine.
Dangerous.
And sunshine.
Sunshine. Very good. Sunshine. Yeah. Excellent. Mr. Richard?
I meditate every night before I go to bed.
Ooh. I think that's cheating. You should meditate in the morning.
Oh.
You can do that, too.
It's harder
I meditate
in the morning.
Every night to
You'll just
to
fall asleep at night.
That's part of the process.
You meditate to sleep.
That's my point.
Shannon, what's your best health tip for the people at home?
Mental health, get off social media. And physical health, I would say sleeping, although none of us probably get enough of it.
We don't.
I feel much better when I sleep.
You're absolutely right. Judge!
The best health tip I can give people is eliminate sugar from your diet, which is something I'm always fighting with. But when I eliminate sugar, I feel 100% better.
Does that include Oreos?
Yeah.
Yes, that does have sugar. I hate to say this because it's going against my brand, but quitting drinking, it's the healthiest thing you can do. I just destroyed the dream.
It also lets you sleep.
No, it's the sleeping thing is a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's like I finally sleep like a normal person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, Susie asks, what is the most memorable moment you shared with a stranger who you never saw again? No one night stands, people. Memorable moment you shared with a stranger, Shannon.
Well, what am I going to talk about now? Speaking about it being off brand, I did one time sit next to a guy on an airplane who we exchanged information. He was doing some work in D.C. I got an email from him weeks later that his nephew was dying. And all he wanted was a message from somebody from the Avengers. I put this in my first book. I put out a tweet. I prayed that people would make this happen. And several of them got to this guy and got messages to the little boy. They called him in the hospital, everything before he passed away. And it was so awesome. But I never saw the uncle again.
Wow. Judge.
You know, this is a tough one to answer. I just remember, and Shannon made me remember this. I remember meeting someone on a plane, and he was fascinating. We had a great conversation, didn't exchange cards or anything. And about, I don't know, 2 weeks later, I got flowers with his name, and I never followed up. That was a mistake.
What about you?
Probably, I can think of so many, but the one that I was thinking of, we were getting on a plane in San Francisco, and a woman had, like, several children and a baby on her hip. And I just said, hey, would you let me to hold your baby while you put your stuff in the overhead bin? And she handed me the baby. And I flew the entire way across the country with the little baby on my lap. It was hilarious. And then I handed the baby back and went my own way.
Wow.
That's sweet.
That's
sweet.
Nice and creepy at the same time.
Yeah, I would have thought, leave me alone.
Only you would find that creepy.
Too.
Nobody else would.
Richard?
I had to think about that. There was a lady that I met leaving a building, and she was just in hysterical tears. And I remember just embracing her. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. Aww. I never knew what happened to the lady, but I remember that moment.
That's nice.
That's so weird. I ran into this lady, and she said, help me. A black man just hugged me on the street.
I'm going to let you have that one because it's Friday.
One more thing's up next.
It is time now for one more thing. Let's start with you, Greg.
What a show tonight, 10 p.m. You got Pete Hegseth, Vince August, Cat Tim, Tyrus. That's tonight at 10 p.m. Let's do this. Greg's Itchy Tortoise News. Who knew that tortoises itch? But get this. They have nerve cells on their shells. Look at that little guy shaking his booty. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Get it right there. That's at the Nashville Zoo. A little lower, buddy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. They are less sensitive than their skin, but they do have nerve endings there. So remember that the next time you see a turtle. Go ahead and scratch his shell.
So you're understated.
Creep. Yeah.
So understated.
You should see it when you do that to Mitch McConnell.
Oh, boy. Judge, I think this is a good time to get to you.
I will start. Okay, so two barbers in Connecticut are being hailed as heroes after they ran out of their establishment to rescue a child who was running into traffic. They were in the middle of a haircut when they noticed a toddler, and their first reaction was to sprint into action. They later, and look at this. Look at this little girl. She's running in the direction
goodness.
Of traffic. Look at these guys. And they later located the girl's mother at a nearby bus stop. I guess she had too many other kids or lost sight of her or something. But they are being hailed as heroes in Connecticut. Phenomenal, huh?
That is fantastic. I love that they have the video on both ends.
Yes.
Of them recognizing the trouble and going and seeing it.
Charlie, you thought that they were the kidnappers.
And tonight I'm on Hannity.
We'll see
That's
you there.
Me.
9 o'clock Eastern.
All right, Henry.
Richard.
No, Richard.
Hello, hello.
And then we'll go to Henry.
Big shout out to my friend and colleague, Eugene Daniels. He is set to become the first black queer man to be the president of the White House Correspondents Association. I helped honor him this past Monday at the first inaugural Angelic Troublemakers Dinner hosted by the Baird Baldwin Institute, whose mission is to empower black queer men in all industries. Speaking of the White House Correspondents Dinner, you can catch special coverage of the dinner right here on Fox News at 9 p.m. with our friend Jimmy Failla.
I'm going to join him.
We'll be at the
Charlie.
Okay, it's
Charlie
always great when nature steps in. PGA golfers at the Zurich Open had to delay teeing off yesterday to wait for a totally unbothered alligator to stroll across the 17th hole tee box. This didn't come as a total shock, as the New Orleans course is known for its occasional reptile spectator, Greg. The delay only lasted about 7 minutes, but didn't seem to be bad luck for the golfers, who ended up parring and birdieing the hole respectively.
Wow, they look relatively calm. Okay, I have something to tell the people of the five. You know that you have important fans that watch you. I found out this week someone else who told me that they watch the five. Retired Justice Stephen Breyer. I interviewed him this week, and the five came up, and he said that he watches it in his exercise routine.
There you go.
So, Judge, Justice, hello. Those are the rest of my folks that will see you on Fox News Sunday. More of my interview with the Justice. Have a great night.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.